B'siyata d'shmaya. So we're up to our fourth shiur in Hilchos Fishel Akum, and what we're going to be discussing today is the last few se'ifim in Simin Kuf Yud Gimel. I told you that we're going to get to more examples, Emir Tzashem, of Halacha L'maisa. We will today through these se'ifim, but I decided that what we're going to do is begin a little bit Kuf Yud Dalid, which begins one Halacha L'maisa question that Rabbi Yamin had begun to ask, and then B'siyata D'shmaya Monday we'll continue on in Bishul Akum since we're ahead of schedule Bli Ayin Hara. Okay. To understand Sif Yud Beis, let us go to the tour, where the tour tells us a Machloikis Rishonim in regards to fish. And we're going to spend a lot of time today discussing fish and Bishul Akum. Some really exciting things. So says the Torah, Kosava Rashba, Dogim Meluchim Gedolim. If you have large pieces of fish, Afal Bishaktsas Anoshim Ochlanos and Chayim Machmas Milchan, even though there are some people who eat it already salted, Achila Zu Achila Aidet Chaki. That is not considered Achila. That is normal, and therefore we consider the fish as eino nechal chay ve'ein achila lefichach and bishlal goy asurim, and therefore if a goy cooks them, it's going to be asur. And the Torah says v'yesh min hachacham she'tiru v'risho nira ikar, and there are some chachamim who say that it's going to be permissible. So we have a machlokis when you have a large piece of fish that's been already salted, whether the halacha is that one still has Bishul Akum. On the one hand, it's Nechal Aydei Adchak. The food is Nechal Aydei Adchak. On the other hand, it's not normally eaten. Now, to really understand this machlokis, I see that my Zoom is not working so well, but you guys hear me through the phone?
Yeah.
Oh, Gvaldik. Okay, so I'm just going to keep on going through the phone. So, we to understand this machlokis, we need to look at two different gemaras, and to understand the whole issue in regards to fish. Number one, the gemara told us on Lamed Ches Amud Aleph that dogim ktanim, small pieces of fish, qualify as eino nechal al shulchan melachim, that kings don't eat it. Kings don't eat little pieces of herring. They might bring out a very, very fancy salmon, but little pieces of fish, that doesn't qualify. So immediately the Taz in Sif Katan Yud Beis quotes the Beis Yosef as saying that over here in our sugya, what we're discussing are salted small pieces of fish. Now, when you have small salted pieces of fish, so then in such a case, then it would be Ola al Shulchan Melachim. And if you have small salted pieces of fish, then we still have a shaila in regards to the rules of Bishul Akum. So if you take a look in the Lashon of the Mechaber, in Sif Yud Beis, the Mechaber starts off not only discussing Dagim Gedolim, but also even Dagim Ketanim. Dagim Ketanim Shemolchan Yisraelo Akum, if they've been already salted, it doesn't matter who salted them, whether the Jew salted them or the Goy salted them, Hare Hein Kemoshen Espashul Mixas Bishul, it's considered as if it's been already partially cooked. Vim Tzolom Akum Acher Kach Mutter, and if the Goy is cooks it afterwards, it's going to be Mutter. Why? Because it was already considered edible. And once it's considered edible, so then it was Nechal Chai. If it's Nechal Chai, so it's not going to be subject to the rules of Bishul Akum. That is step number one in terms of this halacha. Okay. So even though the rule of thumb is that when it comes to fish that's small, it's not going to be subject to Bishul Akum because it's not Olal Shulchan Melachim. If it's salted pieces of fish, it would be. And the chiddush over here of this halacha, as the Taz spells out in Sif Katan Yud Beis, is the chiddush of this halacha is that once it's salted, So then in such a case, then it's considered nechal chai, and when the guy cooked it, he didn't do anything in terms of bishul akum. Because I can't see you, chevra, you'll scream out to me if you have any questions, okay? Beseder. Okay, so this is the psak of the first psak of the mechaber. Here I am back again. Okay, so says the mechaber, avol dogim meluchim. Here we're having the double. Makes sense. That was a great echo.
Oh, yeah.
Problem.
Still
I have to make my volume lower. Okay. So that's the first psak of the Mechaber. Comes along the Mechaber in the Seifa, and then he deals with the machlokas that we saw between the Rajba and the Tur. Says the Mechaber, Aval dogim aluchim gdolim eino necholim al yidei adchak. But if you have these large pieces of fish, so those are different than the small pieces of fish. Now, if you think about it, most fish that we eat that are small, we could eat them salted, like herring, for example. Herring is not cooked, but it's salted. But when was the last time you ate a large fish, which was also salted, or just salted, to be more precise? The answer is we generally don't. Generally, when it comes to larger fish, the salting is not enough. You need to cook it to make it edible. So that's what the Mechaber is saying. Aval dagim meluchim gdolim eino necholim al yidei adchak, lefichach im tzolom akum asurim. And therefore, if the goy cooks it, it's going to be asur, v'yesh matirin, and some hold it's going to be mutter. So this takes us to another Gemara. This takes us to the Gemara on Lamed Ches Amid Beis. The Gemara on Lamed Ches Amid Beis has a machlokis, 10, 15 lines from the top. Dab gmaliach, salted fish. Chizkiya sharish. Chizkiya says it's mutter. Rabbi Yochanan aser, and Rabbi Yochanan says it's a problem. So here we have a machlokes rishonim. What is the machlokes between Chizkiya and Rabbi Yochanan? So if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi learns that machlokes is a very basic machlokes, whether maliach is subject to the Isser Bishul Akum. We know that we learned in all other areas of Isser Veheter that when it comes to Bishul, you could cook and transfer Isser with heat, or you could cook and transfer Isser with salting, because Meliach is Kiroseach. So the Machlokis is whether Meliach, if a guy does Melicha, is that Bishul Akum or not. That's how Rashi learns the Machlokis. That's one way of learning the Machlokis. However, the Ramban and the Ravid, as the Beis Yosef quotes, they don't learn the Machlokis that way. They learn the Machlokis the way the Shulchan Aruch understands the Machlokis. By the way, it's not only Rashi, there are many other Rishonim. If you take a look, the Beis Yosef quotes a list of Rishonim that learn this way. But the Shulchan Aruch doesn't learn this way. The Ravid and the Ramban understand that the Machlokis is as follows. What happens if you have a fish that's edible, but only al yidei adchak? Is nechal al yidei adchak already considered nechal chai or not? That's the machlokis. If that's the machlokis, so then when it comes to meliach kiroseach, everybody says for sure meliach is not kiroseach when it comes to bishul akum. That isn't the machlokis at all. However, when it comes to a case of that's nechal al yidei adchak, there we have a machlokis. Within that hesber of the Ravid and the Ramban, we have a machlokis between the Ravid and the Ramban with the Rajba of how we paskin. The Shulchan Aruch goes with the Rajba, and he says that the halacha is that it's going to be aser. Dahainu, if you have something that's nechal idei adchak, it's not considered nechal chai. And then he quotes, v'yesh metirin, and there are some who are going to be matir. If you take a look, the Shach in Sifkatan Yudzayin clearly doesn't paskin like this Yesh Matirin, and the Pashtus, as we're going to see shortly, is the Ramah also doesn't paskin this way as well. Let's take a look at the Shach in Yudzayin. The Shach says, V'kosava Yisr V'heter, D'chavushim V'armonim, Einon nechol in chayin ela al yedei adchak. When it comes to these nuts that are eaten only raw, when they're in a shas adchak, when people are only in a stock, but ideally they would cook them, yesh ben bishul bishulei akum, it's subject to bishul akum. So therefore, bottom line, what emerges, according to the Shulchan Aruch and the Shach, and we're going to see that the Rama agrees with this as well, the halacha is, the only time you could say something is nechal chai, is if it's generally nechal chai, if it's easily nechal chai. So when it comes to tomatoes, so tomatoes are nechal chai. So there's no bishul akum when it comes to tomatoes. However, when it comes to potatoes, so there it could be that there are some who would eat it raw in certain instances, but that would be certainly al yedei adchak, and therefore the halacha is that it would be subject to bishul akum. Okay, so this is the psak of the mechaber. Everybody says, no, we don't paskin like that sad that Rashi says, that maliach is karoseach, that to say that it will be subject to bishul akum. And if you have something that's been already salted, and it's for sure edible, like small fish, the halacha is that it's not going to be subject to bishul akum. But large fish is only nechal yedei adchak, and since it's nechal yedei adchak, it's going to be subject to bishul akum. Comes along the shach, and the shach says the same applies in regards to nuts as well. There are some nuts that need to be roasted. You would eat it al yedei adchak if you were Forrest Gump and Castaway, you would eat it. But aside from that, most people would not eat it, and therefore the halacha is that's subject to bishul akum. So both the shach and the Mechaber paskin this way. The Gra also seems to paskin this way. If you take a look in Sifkatan Lamed Aleph, and this is the basic halacha. The Rama comes along and he extends this din. Says the Rama, V'chein kol dover shenechal chay al yidei etchak u'bishol akum dinam kigdagin gedolim. This applies, as we saw, to other things as well, like the Shach said when it came to nuts. And then he says something interesting. Ubasar maluach, when it comes to meat that is salted, eino necha klal kamohu shuhuchai, it's not eaten raw, v'asar im nispashal yidei akum, and then it will also be subject to bishul akum. It's also going to be subject to bishul akum. So this is the position of the Rama, and the Rama is quoting a Tosos. Now, in all places, the Tosos appears in Yevamis on Daf Mem Vav. Now, the Tosos' discussion is a fascinating conceptual discussion. Tosos discusses an egg, and Tosos discusses raw meat that's already been salted. And Tosos points out, when it comes to Ilchos Muktza, it's considered Roi La'achila. So Tosa says, does that mean that it's considered roi la'achila for all things? Why is it roi la'achila? Because you could, as described in the end of Simen Shin Ches, you could chew the meat if it's already been salted, beef jerky. So you could chew the meat. So Tosa says, even though the halacha is when it comes to muktza, it's not considered muktza because it's already chewable, even though the egg is something that could be eaten raw. Chazan eats the egg raw, drinks the egg raw for his throat. Nevertheless, that's in regards to muktza. It's not going to be considered muktza. But in regards to bishul akum, it's going to be subject to bishul akum. The Beis Yosef is medayik that if you take a look at the Tur seems to say that basar falls into the category of dag meluach. So it puts basar meluach into dag meluach. So the Beis Yosef presents that's a machlokus between the Tosas and the Tur, and even though it's a machlokus in between the Tosas and the Tur, the Ramah paskins the Chumrah. That's how the pashtus of how to understand the Ramah. Okay, so what emerges is we have another example that you could have something that is considered nechal yidei etchak, and when it comes to other dinim, it's considered ro'ui lekach, like a beitza, but nevertheless, basar and a beitza, tesis and yivamis, amen vavam, and al says, is subject to bishul akum. And this is also gepaskind in Sif Yudalid. If you take a look in Sif Yudalid, beitza, af al pishu ru'uya legam lachaya, in bishul akum asura. So this goes back to that tosas. The Taz in Sif Katan Yugimel has an interesting ha'ara. He wants to say that the Rama also could be going with tosas and the Tur. And he wants to say that there really is no machlokas between Tosis and the Tur, because the Chura Tosis is right. When we already paskined above, most Rishonim say that if it's Nechal Yidei Adchak, it's not considered Nechal Chai. And therefore, it's subject to Bishul Akum. So why would mead be any different? Why would the Tur think that mead is any different? In fact, if you take a look, the Tur paskins like the Rajba. I'm adding to the Taz's point. The Taz doesn't make that point. But he paskins like the Rajba, that what? The Nechal Yidei Adchak is not considered Nechal Chai. So comes along the Taz and he says a nice pshat. He says in Sifkotin Yigimel, Bitur Choshib Basim Ruach Bahadi Dogim Ketanim, the Tur includes meat with dogim ketanim. V'nira diu mayri shemocha harbe v'nishtav b'melech zman rav k'moshe siyim atur ad shiru'in la'achila kach below bishul. We're talking about something that's mamish roi la'achila. Help me out. How do they make beef jerky? Is beef jerky cooked at all?
That's Binyamin's department.
No, it's not cooked at all. Beautiful. Oh, so beef, baruch shekivanti to that department. That when it comes to beef jerky, if it's not cooked at all, so then that would be the Taz says Ramah's talking about that. The Taz says Ramah's talking about beef jerky. If we're talking about beef jerky, which is entirely roi lachila, and then a guy came along and did bishul akum, so then in such a case, it wouldn't be subject to bishul akum. But when did the Ramah say that you have to be machmir? He was talking about meat that was technically kosher because you already salted it. And in theory, if you were Forrest Gump in Castaway, you would eat it. In such a case, you would eat it. So says the Ramah, that's going to be Osir. Comes along the Taz, and the Taz says there's really no machlokas between Tur and Tosis. The Beis Yosef was marbe machlokas be Yisrael. There really is no machlokas between that machlokas is okay. But he was marbe machlokas. That machlokas is really not necessary at all. Good. Zach, yeah.
So for Ashkenaz Mashkiach in a beef jerky company today, we're not have to do anything. As long as the products are kosher themselves, the guy can make it from beginning to end.
That's right. If it was already correct, it wouldn't be subject to Bishul Akum. Nachon. And that's what comes out. Okay. Our second topic for today is Sif Yud Gimel, which becomes a massive topic in Halacha Lemaisa, and we're going to use it also as a springboard to see some exciting questions that come up in regards to the processing of fish and Bishul Akum when it comes to fish, Bizman Hazeh. The Beis Yosef quotes a Yerushalmi in Nedarim that we've already mentioned all the way in the beginning of Basar B'Chalav. The Prima Gadim taught us this Yerushalmi in Nedarim. The Yerushalmi in Nedarim discusses what happens if someone makes a neder that they're not going to eat cooked food. Do we say that smoked food is also included in that neder? So that the Prima Gadim brought up when he discussed whether smoking is also an Isur Daraisa Bishul Basar B'Chalav, or only Bishul. So he says it's a Safek in the Yerushalmi, and we're going to be Machmir. Now, over here, when it comes to Hilchos Bishul Akum, there, even if you read that the Yerushalmi wasn't Machriya L'Kula, as long as the Yerushalmi wasn't Machriya L'Chumra, which it's not, so then there's room to be Mekel. Why? Because Bishul Akum is the Rabbanan. So take a look at the second part of the Mechaber in Sif Yud Gimel, v'hamu'ushan eino kimevushal, that when it comes to smoking, it's not mevushal. Says the Ramah, gam kovash eino kimevushal, the lo aswell bishol shel eish, the only iser is bishol shel eish, and therefore, the opening lines of the Mechaber, as we mentioned, is also the standard psak, not like Rashi, who had a tzad that was matir, that's aser. If it's salted, dag shemolcho akumu perish ishnan ad sheichshirin lachila harehum elu mutarin. Whether it's salted or whether it's smoked, the halachi is that it's mutar. The meluach eino kiroseach. That if it is salted, it's not kiroseach. And muushan, we're also going to paskin like that sad that it's not considered kiroseach. Beautiful. So now,
how come Mechaber doesn't mention Kavush
Why did the Mechaber not quote what the Rama says? I don't know. I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know. Nah. Because.
No, doesn't the Shach say that it's also Kavish doesn't apply?
Correct. No, he's asking, what would the Shita of the Mechaber be? He's asking. He's asked, what's the Shita of the Mechaber? It's interesting, Ha'ara, that he doesn't mention that. Correct, correct.
So we'll have the same microwave discussion we had with Basil Bukhala, right?
Well, let's put that on the side for a few minutes, and then we'll come back to that. Bli Neder, let's not conclude the shir without discussing that, but let's put that on the side for a minute, okay? Beseder. So now, smoking, as we discussed in the beginning, we alluded to very briefly in the beginning of Basar B'Chalav, smoking is a little bit different than what we do today in many factory settings. For example, there is smoking like you have smoked fish. And smoked fish, then, is exactly Ishum, that what they do is they put the fish on top of the fire, they create a lot of smoke, and that's smoked fish. That is Ishum. But there's another form of heating today that's not Ishum. It's similar to it, but it is called Kitur. Kitur is steaming, that you don't cook with the actual water. You create steam and you cook through steaming. So notice the words of the Rama. The Rama said, "Delo asru ela bishul shel esh." That the Isser is particularly Bishul Shel Esh. And if you take a look in the Sefer Darchei Tshuva, I'll give you the Maror Makom, Kuf Yud Gimel Tes Zayin, most of the Achronim he quotes that make a lot of sense to me, say that the Isser is particularly Al Yidei Esh. And if it's not Al Yidei Esh, it's done through Kitur, it's done through steaming, so then in such a case, it's not going to be subject to Bishul Akum. This is also the Psak of the Sri Deish in Chelek Beis Sif Chav Beis, and he says it's going to be Aser. There are to Mutter that it's not going to be subject to Bishul Akum. Not going to be subject to Bishul Akum. The reason I said Aser is in my head I was thinking that there is a minority opinion in the Darchei Tshuva who says that in Hilchos Shabbos we're going to discuss next year, Mirtz Hashem, that there's a lot of reason to say that steaming is also an Isur Daraisa Bishul, because we know that not only Ur is going to be Chai for Bishul, even told us Ur. See, he says that when it comes to Bishul Akum, the same would apply. But L'chura, you could be Mechalek, then when it comes to Hilcha Shabbos, there isn't a halacha that says it needs to be Dafkal Yudei Eish. And therefore, we would follow, and this is how Chacham Avadya Zatzal paskins, this is how the Rabbonim in the OU paskin, that when it comes to steaming, that steaming is not going to be subject to Bishul. The one thing that I think we have to be careful, that Rav Ganak points out, is that sometimes what they do is they heat up a can that is sitting in water through steam. In other words, you have a can, here's the can, and instead of simply having fire underneath, there's steam which heats up the can, and in the can there's water that gets heated up, and that water then heats up the food. That would be classic Bishul. That would be classic Bishul. And that's how Rav Ganak paskins. But if we're talking about where the steam goes directly onto the food itself, then Ruba de Poskim say that that's this halacha that we said, that Ishun is not subject, and Kitur as well would not be subject to Bishul Akum. Okay. The problem is that there are times that it's not always done in this manner. Dahainu, that there are times that a fire is used, and it's very, very difficult to have a Jew always turning on the fire. And this issue comes up particularly when it comes to tuna fish. There was a famous diun in regards to tuna fish, whether tuna fish is subject to Bishul Akum. So I want to share with you. This is history for me. Let's see if I'm actually able to do this. Okay, here we go. You guys see it, right? Okay, so this is Rav Ganak's article. So there's two pieces of history. Number one is the first time I'm screen sharing in my life. Number one. And number two is that this is the first Masorah journal. It's really a tremendous, tremendous piece of work. This is the first thing that the OU had ever printed. So if you take a look, he discusses over here Dag Me'ushan, and he quotes the Chacham Avadya was Mekel. And because, as we mentioned, the Kitur is not considered Bishul. And then Rabbi Ganak gives 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 reasons why he thinks when it comes to tuna fish, there isn't a problem with Bishul Akum, because there were many who were initially very machmir for the problem of Bishul Akum when it comes to tuna fish. In fact, if you take a look at Rabbi Luban's article, Rabbi Luban has a fantastic article on OU kosher. So there, Rabbi Luban writes that once upon a time, the OU used to have Rosh Tevos for Bishul Yisrael. It would be OU something something BY, Bishul Yisrael. That they were machmir, that a few of the runs of the tuna for bumblebee and so on were done with a Jew turning it on. But tuna, by the way, is made in far-fledged places like Bangkok and so on. To get a mashgiach there to be constantly turning it on is going to be very difficult. So Rabbi Ganak says as follows: Aleph, Efsher de'ena nikra ola shulchan malachim de'talu b'shir shel ola shulchan malachim b'suda malachos mefuaros. So he says, number one, it could be that the tuna is not considered ola shulchan malachim, and Rav Soloveitchik said that this is considered something that's not ola shulchan malachim. Now, this is quite debatable, because there is tuna that's very fancy and very beautiful. It's not the tuna that you get in the can. That would not be Olal Shulchan Malachim. But there is fancy tuna that's put on Shulchan Malachim. Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal was Mekel for that. Number two, Rabbi Ganak was Megala something. This is written 30 years ago. See, he always knows what's coming down the pike. And he says there's a new food called sushi that's coming out. And it's a fish that people actually eat raw. So it could be that when it comes to the species of fish, the moment in which you have sushi, then in such a case you could be mekel. Once again, that's also a heter that you could be benfak bake with, because at the end of the day, the tuna is an entirely different species than sushi. So therefore, you could argue that the din of sushi is not going to change all of the din of Bishul Akum for tuna as well. Number three, the Bangkok, this is where they make tuna. Ha'esh hudlak al yidei Yisrael. There the fire is turned on by Yisrael. Now the shaila becomes, what about Svardim? Could Svardim be Mekel? So he says that Chacham Avadya says that you could be Mekel. Why? So last time we saw the Chacham Avadya held that you could be mekel with the Ravid, that if it's not done bebeis akum. So if it's not done bebeis akum, then there's going to be room to be mekel. And I was most excited about 4, 5, and 6, the svaris of 4, 5, and 6. In number 4, he says that it could be when it comes to Bishul Akum, it doesn't apply when you have workers. It doesn't apply when you have workers. Why? So he quotes a shach. Now this is a mistake. This shach that the Maramakum that he gives, he means to say the shach that we learned last time in Kuf Yud Gimel Zayin. That in Kuf Yud Gimel Zayin we had learned that the halach is that by shvachos shelanu, shvachos, let's start with shvachos, that shvachos is not subject to Bishul Akum. So why is shvachos not subject to Bishul Akum? So we said maybe it could be it's only shvachos shelahem. That it was an Eved that already had a Din of Yisrael. Of course, our house help doesn't qualify. And then there was a suggestion in the Shach that a Sachir, that someone who's being paid, is considered as if they're forced to do it. It's not considered something that they would want to do. There isn't a chash of chasnus when they're doing it simply as a job. So that's number four. He says that when it comes to schirim, so there the shach had a tzad to be mekel. Now when we read the shach, we thought that the shach only suggested that as a tzad lahakel, but the shach didn't paskin that way. So it's a little bit difficult to suggest that. However, in hay he has a fascinating heter. He has the heter of the ra'ah combined with Reb Moshe Feinstein. Ra'ah writes as follows. The Ra'ah says, you know what, maybe I'll go back and show you where he quotes the whole Ra'ah. This Ra'ah is not mentioned in Shulchan Aruch. But Rav Ganak found this Ra'ah that's a fascinating Ra'ah. Yeah. Hara'ah Kasav by Vav. Hara'ah Kasav bebedek habayis, sheha'ofe ofe bebayis miyuchel lekach, ve'ena miskaven levashel la'atzmo, v'lo l'shum. Do you guys hear me? Good. V'lo l'shum adam miyuchad el machto l'fishu sachir lefos l'vashel l'kol abam b'bayis miyuchad she'im bnei adam ochlim bo v'lo shosim bo v'rishus harab l'kol ha'olam b'zeh afsher l'adun l'schus d'bihay l'chashiv b'shulei nachrim. The Ra'ah has an interesting heter. The Ra'ah's heter is like this. It's like the Ravid, not as far as the Ravid, but he says that, as the Ravid points out, that the chashash of Bishul Akum was originally that you would go to a guy's house and come lidei chasnus in a situation that is naturally intimate. The Ravid said that Beis Yisrael, it's never going to be intimate. That we don't paskin like. That the Ra'ah doesn't paskin like. However, he says, what happens if you have a place that is so sterile, like a manufacturing plant? There's going to be no chasnus that's going to come in a manufacturing plant. So says the Ra'ah, or for that matter, in any area that's just designated for cooking or baking. And therefore, the Ra'ah says, in such a case, there's no Bishul Akum. The Ra'ah seems to be saying that there are three levels when it comes to the chash of Bishul. There's one case where you're in a house, in the guy's house, in a Jew's house, then for sure you have Bishul Akum. When it comes to Pas Akum, then you have some opinions who say that once it's bepalter, then it's going to be mutter when it comes to pas. But when it comes to bishul, there's no heter of palter. What's palter? Palter means a baker. So when it comes to bishul akum, even the Ra'ah agrees that palter is usser. Why? Because at least when it comes to the palter, there you have some type of interaction with him because you go to buy from him and you taste his good bread. So then in such a case, you're going to be choshesh that he's going to marry his daughter. But then you have a third case. You have a factory. No one ever sees each other in the factory. They're in Bangkok. You're here. That's a totally different story. And the Ra'ah says you could be makel. So Rav Ganak found this Ra'ah, and this Ra'ah is a fascinating idea. The problem is to paskin with a Ra'ah that's not brought down in Tor or in Shulchan Aruch is a little bit difficult. However, he has Rav Moshe Feinstein, who basically extended the Ra'ah Svara, and he claimed that even the Shulchan Aruch would agree with this. If you look above in this article, you'll see that it's actually not Rav Moshe. I looked through the Tshuvas, because it's quoted in the name of Rav Moshe in the Tshuvas. It's not in the Tshuvas, but it's a psak that was given. The exact language is in this piece from Rav Nata Griblat that Rav Ganak quotes, and that is that Rav Moshe said as follows. Rav Moshe said that in a factory where they use machinery that's clearly manufactural machinery, and you would never replicate that form of cooking in a home, then in such a case you could be makel. In other words, the Ra'ah said that if it's far away, then automatically it's not a heter. The people will never come in contact with each other. Rav Moshe says no. On that we have to say a lo plug by Bishul Bakum. But if the process of cooking doesn't resemble any process that we have, so then it's not subject to Bishul Akum. And finally, he points out that the Darkei Tshuva said that when it comes to Kitur, then when it comes to steaming, it's going to be mutter as well. And here it's steamed, and the steam goes right up against the tuna. It does. It's not that the tuna, it's not the way we get it in our cans. It's not that it's sitting in water and oil, and the water and oil is heated up, and then there's it's steamed, because then it would be a problem of bishul being cooked in the oil or being cooked in the water. But rather what happens is they pass the tuna over steaming, and then it's cooked in that way. It's steamed in that way. So then in such a case, it would not be subject to bishul akum. So this was really exciting, because what we did is not only do we talk about tuna, but we saw many of the heterim that we had touched on before, the shach, etc., etc., the hagdara of what qualifies as olal shulchan melachim, the hagdara of nechal chai. We see this all in action when it comes to the big question in regards to tuna fish. I think the most powerful heter, of course, is the fact that it seems clear to me that steaming is going to be mutter, and therefore steaming is not subject to bishul akum. Yes, Zach.
So, for Zach here, assuming we're saying that the age
Again?
In Gimel, the Ganak says that it's turned on by Yisrael, the Eish, it's Hidlik Ayde Yisrael.
Right, he's right. He's saying that in Bangkok they do it Ayde Yisrael. Correct.
So, is he saying that all of these Heterim combined, you need to ensure that there's a Yisrael in the factory turn on fire every single time the tuna is made?
Right, so the answer is, what he means is that in Bangkok, it's the Eish is Hudlak Al Yidei Yisrael. I think he means the pilot light is Hudlak Al Yidei Yisrael. Now, one of the biggest innovations that the OU did 30 years ago, to now to us is like so simple and so obvious, but 30 years ago is a very, very big deal, is that there was a fellow, I think his name was Rabbi Shane, who figured out how to turn on the fire in Bangkok from a phone in New York. So the guy would simply call the Yisrael, and he would press a button on his phone, and that was a big, big innovation at the time. So now, it could be it's a lot easier than it was once upon a time. When Rav Ganak wrote this thing in Misora, I think they didn't have it yet. But when Rabbi Luban wrote his article in OU Kosher, by then they had come up with that big innovation. So nowadays, that's another sniff that's going to be used. And it might be necessary, because we were just talking about tuna. But what about other things that's not steamed? So that's where, if you go up over here, I'll show you go up, in regards to egg rolls, that was what Rav Nata Greenblatt was quoting Rav Moshe Feinstein. The egg roll is not steamed. So if you take a look in Rav Ganak's article, here it is. Tshuva, right in the middle. Yesh lodun lahatir egg rolls. Ramesha's way of writing things is always very entertaining. Ayin gimel rolls. Egg rolls. Elu miyisr shel bishlakim. Dihine kfar donu bale ero bedar shavar, kisha also shayla shel hasardinim. The shayla of sardines came up. Ugedom lahatir b'shum de b'nsiyus lo shayach b'm gzeres chasnus. So, Ramosha claims that in Europe, they were already makel when it came to sardines. And some say, what about the low plug? So, Rabbi Ganak found that those matirim in Europe had a ra'ah. But Ramosha goes even further. But in the case of the egg rolls, it's cooked through a machine. No one is ever going to cook in these machines with two people close to each other. So then in such a case, yesh lama shein lasa mishum lo plug, there isn't going to be asa lo plug. Now, to be honest, this is Rabbi Nota Greenblatt's writing, and then he concludes, kasafti azeh ba'askamas maran or Ramesha Feinstein, v'acha shekasafti karati azeh lefonav, v'amar shenichtav karoi. So he wrote it, and then he read it to Ramesha, and he asked Ramesha whether it was written properly, and Ramesha said yes. But that's why I was looking up and down Igris Moshe for this famous hetter for Ramesha, and I couldn't find it until I got to hear. Thanks to Rabbi Luban. Yes, Rabbi Binyamin.
Okay, can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Okay. This is like a more general question. It seems like you don't need both things in order to not have visual action. It seems like you only need one.
Of course. Of course.
So we said for the also.
What do you mean? No, according to most Rishonim and how we paskin, it's a question in the how you read the Gemara. But the Rishonim were medayik. Tosas was medayik that it sounds like you need two klalim. You need both davar sheinu nechal chai as well as olal shulchan malachim. We hold that if you have either one of those things, it's going to be mutter. Dahainu, if it's eino nechal chai, if it's nechal chai, or it's not olal shulchan malachim. Okay, now we go to another one of your shailas that you had asked, Rabbi Binyamin. Let's go, Siftes Vav is self-explanatory, and let's begin Simin Kuf Yudalid, and we'll go back to Siftes Zayin and Mirtz Hashem later. So Rabosai, I have a makar for those teenagers who ask, what's the source that's usher to go to a bar? Is it usher al pi halacha to go to a bar? So of course you and I know that it's usher for those teenagers to go to a bar. You and I know that. The question is whether al pi halacha we could point to a sif in Shulchan Aruch that says that. So I believe there is a sif in Shulchan Aruch that deals with that issue. That's based on a Gemara on Avodah Zarah Lamed Aleph, and interestingly, it'll take us to Rabbi Yamin's Shaila about coffee. Okay, so let's begin Simin Kuf Yudalid. Simin Kuf Yudalid, as the Torah points out, is based on the following Gezerah. Now we've been discussing different Gezeros of Pasakum, of Bishul Akum. We really haven't done Pasakum well. Mirtz Hashem, we'll get to that. But there's another Gzeira outside of Bishul Akum, and that is a Gzeira that was made against beer. There was a Gzeira that was made against beer for an Iser Chasnus. Take a look at the tour. Kol Sheikhar, all beer. Echad Sheikhar Tmarim, Oshel Sa'orim, V'chein Mashka Asim Yidvash, Asurim Mishum Chasnus. They're all Aser for Chasnus. Now, the reason why it doesn't get as much famous play is because you'll see there's a few reasons for it, but firstly, Tosas in Avodah Zarah and Lamed Aleph on Mebeis points out that it's not mentioned in the Mishnah. It was a later Gzeira of the Amorayim. Still, a later Gzeira of the Amorayim, it's a Psak in Shulchan Aruch. But the Torah immediately says, V'lo echmira bem kimo pas v'shlokos, shelo asrum elo bebeis goy. The reason why we don't have a requirement to cook a Coors beer or a Corona beer, right? The reason why Corona beer is mutter to drink, and the reason why it's mutter to drink is because it's kosher. What about the fact that it was cooked by a guy? So the Isser is only bebeis guy. In the house of a guy, it's going to be Usser. And in that way, it's different from Bishul Akum and Pas Akum. And then we have the Rosh, the Kosav Adoni Arosh, Sha'af Bebeis Hagoy Lo Yatsu El Kishu Gvei Atzma Lishtas Kederach Sha'adam Kavei Bishtiya. It's only Bikfius. Avom Nichnas Bebeis Hagoy V'shoyis Derech Arai Ba'akroi Mutter. If he's doing it Derech Arai and Akroi, it's Mutter. V'chei Mi Shalom Bebeis Hagoy Chosha Apunin Kibesa Mutter Lishtos. That the Rishonim got stuck because once upon a time, every time you traveled, you stayed at a hotel. And remember, once upon a time, there were two things to drink. Water and soda, but soda wasn't soda. What was soda? Soda was beer. That was the only thing that people drank. That was a carbonated drink. Now Holy Bagel asks, they give you a choice of two things. That was in Yom Yerushalayim. Water or a carbonated drink? So that we're gone back to medieval times. So the carbonated drink, once those were the choices. So the carbonated drink was beer. Says the Mechaber in Kuf Yudalid, all of these things that we just mentioned. Kol sheicha shel avikachavim, echad sheicha shel tmar, shel tonma, shel sorma, shel tvua, asa mishum chasnus, vein asa mokum makiraso, and therefore it's going to be prohibited. So let me jump straight to drinking beer. So when it comes to beer, you buy the beer, there's no problem. If it's bebayis shelcha, there's no problem. There's no gzeiras sheicha. But to go to bebeis hagoy, in such a case, that's going to be a problem. Then why is it that everybody doesn't say that drinking beer in a house of a goy is aser? Because there's a Ramah. The Ramah says, V'yesh matirim b'sheichar shel tvash utvua. The Pri Chadash explains that the Ramah said that the only iser is tvash sheichar shel tmarim. Once upon a time they made beer, the strongest and fanciest beer was made out of dates, because Chazal originally made that gzera only in that type of beer. But when it comes to dvash and tvua, there we're going to be mekel. However, we should note that the Mechaber did not pask in that way. So first of all, if you have Sephardic students, and they ask if it's mutter, so it's beferish, that's going to be us, if it's bebeis hagoy. And I would argue, any Jew that owns a bar, in terms of, I'm talking about a bar, like the bars that I used to pass from my apartment on 84th Street to the Westside Institutional on 76th Street. Raviol, you're lucky, you're going to be in Englewood. When I did my internship, I was on the Upper West Side. I once counted how many bars there were from 84th Street to 76th Street. There are 25 bars. So almost all of them would qualify on Amsterdam Avenue. So every single one of them would qualify as being Asur. And even if it's owned by a Jew, it would seem to me that it would qualify the discussion that we had in the past, that a Mumar Yisrael might be a problem as well. So Yesh Lodun, even if it's owned by a Jew. But certainly if it would be owned by a guy, it would be Asur according to the Mechaber. What about the Ramah? So if you take a look, just a second, Zach. If you take a look at the Ramah, the Gra comments, and he says almost everybody disagrees with this idea. He says the Pshat in the Ramah, like the Pri Chadash says, in Sifkat and Ches, take a look at the Gra. The Kasa Beis Yosef, Shedaito De'ein Osir El Ke'ein Sheikh Hashem Shoy Shal Tamarim, Avol Kol Aposkim Cholkin Azeh. So the Gra says everybody disagrees with this heter of the Ramah. So it is true that there is a heter of the Ramah. However, it seems that many are cholek on that. So it would seem to me that if somebody was asking this question, I think that there is a lot of room to be oser for that reason, if we needed a sif in Shulchan Aruch. It's also the fifth chelik of Shulchan Aruch, which is obvious, but sometimes people tell me, don't tell me, except what's the basic law. And Lania's daiti, therefore, the other application, not just talking to kids, chas v'chalila, that are looking to party, but even for professionals, that when a person goes out for a business beer, so we have a heter bakroi, but one should be extremely, extremely careful for going out with a drink with a guy, that we have these halachos that in Simen Kuf Yudalid that Sheikhar is going to be asur. So you should be aware of the Ramah's heter, but also remember the spirit of the halacha. Yes, Zach. Wait, let me just raise you 1 second. I can't hear you so well. 1 second. Come again. I lost you for a second. Now I'm with you on the phone. Come again.
I was saying that the Mechaber says even more so. The Mechaber says the lashon of El B'makom Mechiroso, which is for sure a bar, as opposed to the Torah who said the base guy, which we can be mafalpal if a bar is considered base guy or not.
Correct. In other words, you're saying Makom Mechiroso, according to the Mechaber, all bars are going to be aser. Right. Nachon.
Yeah.
Correct. I'm asking. Now, there's a fascinating Shach and Taz over here, which is really important. And they asked the following question. And this is going to take us to Rabbi Yamin's question in regards to coffee. And that is the following. Forget about the Gzeira of Sheikhar, which is only B'makom Mechiraso, as Zach pointed out, or B'beis Goy, but Bishul Akum is Aser even B'beis Yisrael. And you have to cook the beer. So that question the Taz and the Shach both ask. So let's start with the Taz. The Taz in Sifkat and Aleph says, Ve'ein baze iser mishum bishule akum, ki hechi da tfua betela legabi mayim, le'inyin bracha de shahakol hachinami betela inyin iser bishul akum. And he quotes this from the Taisis also on Lamed Aleph on the Beis. The Taz says that when it comes to beer itself is not subject to bishul akum, because when it comes to water isn't subject to Bishul Akum. Dahainu. That even though beer is not water, it's considered bottle to the water. Just like Tesis and Brachas in the sixth parak says that we make a shahakal because the beer is the ikur, is not the grain. And Tosis has different explanations why. One of the reasons is because you drink it. So the ikur is the water. So therefore he says that just like it gets a shahakal, So too, it's not going to be subject to Bishul Akum. So it's not going to be subject to Bishul Akum. So this is what... Are you hearing me okay? Gotcha. Okay. So now, so Tosa says that it's going to be batel. Oh, so this takes us to a fascinating halacha lemaisa question. Is coffee subject to Bishul Akum? So according to the Taz's Svara, that the reason why there is no Bishul Akum over here is because the beer is batel to the mayim. You could say the exact same Svara for coffee. That, of course, water is not subject to Bishul Akum, and just like the beer is bottled to the mayim and not subject to Bishul Akum, and then we add a new gzeira in the pub, when it comes to coffee, if it's not in a pub, so then in such a case, it's not going to be subject to Bishul Akum. However, 2 points. First of all, if you take a look at the Shach has 2 reasons why it's not subject to Bishul Akum. Number one, he says, is because beer is not olal shulchan malachim. Once upon a time, beer was like cola. And I don't know if they serve cola in state dinners. But once upon a time, they definitely didn't serve beer at state dinners. Beer was the lowest level drink possible. It was the cheapest drink. It was the cheapest drink around. Are you hearing me okay? So once upon a time. It was the cheapest drink around. So then, in such a case, it's not going to be subject to Bishul Akum. So when it comes to coffee, points out the Pischei Tshuva and Sifkat and Aleph, that's not true. Coffee is given at the state dinners. So it comes out, in regards to Rabbi Yamin's question, that there really is a fascinating question in terms of halacha lemaisa, whether coffee is going to be subject to the iser of Bishul Akum. And it starts with the question of how you look, why is beer mutter and not considered Bishul Akum in Beis Yisrael? If the reason is because it's bottled to the water, so then that same svara is going to apply as well for coffee. But if the idea is that's Eina Olal Shulchan Malachim, like the first Svara in the Shach, in Sifkat and Aleph, so then in such a case, coffee would be subject to Bishul Akum. So let's take a look at how the Pischei Tshuva concludes. He says, Avo Bekave Einenu Ro Sholal Shulchan Malachim, Umizamni Aleu, Vachain Roy Lebal Nefesh, Shalol Lishtis Kave Otemi Akum. He paskins that we should be Machimer. Kim Dumani, that the word. The Pischei Tshuva at the end of Sifkat and Aleph. Kim Dumani, that the world is makel in this regard, right? Did you ever hear of someone not having a waiter make coffee for you? I haven't heard that. I haven't heard that. Never, despite the fact that the Panim Me'iros, quoting the Pesachei Tshuva, has a good svara that's saying it depends why beer is mutter, why it, beer is not subject to Bishul Akum. And if beer is not subject to Bishul Akum because Eino Ola Shulchan Malachim, coffee and tea is most definitely Ola Shulchan Malachim, and you would have to say that has the din of water to be Mekel. The Pesachei Tshuva, many people don't realize, says that a Baal Nefesh should be Machmir on himself. This is one of those things that when you live in Chutz La'aretz, it's very hard to be machmer. It's hard for me to imagine, you know, not getting coffee at a stand in America. In Eretz Yisrael, it's a lot easier to be machmer. But definitely there is this opinion that needs to be mentioned in regards to Rabbi Yamin's question a couple of days ago that says in regards to coffee that a Baal Nefesh should be machmer. Okay, Rabosa, our agenda before I take Zach's question is going to be as follows. Emirtze Hashem, we're going to continue with Simin Kuf Yudalid, with some of these halachos in regards to beer. Then we're going to go to Pas Akum, Emirtze Hashem, in Kuf Yud Beis. And then we'll go to Cholav Akum. And we'll discuss Cholav Akum as well, Bli Neder. We have time before the end of the Zman. If there's a time that the Chevra, be honest with me, if there's a time that the Chevra wants to stop for Chazara, let me know. But I'm excited to continue doing these halachos. If it becomes too much, I have Rachmanis on you, because last time we didn't cover as much. Corona's been a blessing. We're actually covering more. Or maybe that time, I think what it was that it was a shorter year as well, because Pesach was much later. Either way, in previous years, I didn't do much more than Kuf Yud Beis, Kuf Yud Gimel, or Kuf Yud Gimel, so I could understand why someone would ask that it shouldn't be on the Bechina, but I think we're growing from this, so might as well continue. And then, next time, I'm going to continue with many more Halach L'maisa examples. Now we finally finished B'siyata D'Shmaya, all of Kuf Yud Gimel, and then we're going to go through a list of foods in terms of Bishul Akum and a list of instances, and Emir Tz Hashem will pick up with that as well as Sif Tez Zayin.